Text 2, Chapter 2. There is one more element that is important in the re-examination of globalization. When companies were rooted in a community, they tended to incorporate the values and priorities of the places they lived in. This was reflected in executive-to-median pay ratios that were relatively modest. As financial capital has overwhelmed industrial capital, more and more companies seem to be rootless. If it is cheaper to set up in Mexico or Asia, it is done without much internal debate. This has happened during a period of rising inequality in pay. For some time, the pressure on manufacturing jobs was offset by more women working, by construction and finance jobs, and by relatively full employment. However, these adaptations are no longer working, and employment gains going forward are likely to be slow. This is leading many outside of the usual academic and labor communities to wonder if the rising tide is lifting only a few boats. It would not be surprising if there were pressure to reduce the footloose nature of companies. Though how would that be done without widespread collateral damage is still a puzzle. Where does this leave globalization? It is likely to continue, but in a more fragmented and contentious way than in the past. Ordinary people in rich countries are not benefiting and suspect there is a fixed game. Western multinationals face a difficult future with constrained growth prospects. Developing countries' companies have growing domestic markets, but uncertain access to foreign markets, given the developing backlash against perceived unfairness. The knowledge that protectionism in the 1930s brought about disaster has so far been a deterrent. But will governments mired in a deep recession and high unemployment continue to be wise? If they do not start to balkanize global markets, economic growth will not be impossible, but it will be much slower and less sustainable. On the other hand, if neither real incomes nor jobs and wealth grow in the rich countries, it is hard to see how the poor nations will be able to rely on an expert-led growth model. There may be a modest amount of decoupling possible, but in the end, we are all doomed to the same boat. If the two tens of 10% U.S. unemployment and 10% Chinese growth are not compatible, which will fall? Until a new coalition for globalization emerges in the rich countries, it may be a bumpy ride.